Pepco, formerly Steinhoff Africa Retail, came out with their annual results. For the 12 months ended September, the company reported headline earnings per share up 16.7% to 98.3 cents, while its basic earnings per share fell 22.5% to 64.6 cents, citing a 1.2 billion rand impairment at the building company. The company decided to give shareholders a reduced dividend by almost a quarter. Well, earlier, my colleague Larry Klassen caught up with Pepco's CEO, Leon Lawrence.
Hi, Mr. Lawrence. Thanks for agreeing to speak to us. I really appreciate you setting aside some time. The first thing that strikes us about your results is your decision to close down your Zim operation. Can you just talk to us about that? What prompted it and how long you've been thinking about doing this?
Well, as we say in our announcement, the closure of Zimbabwe is mostly due to the macroeconomic circumstances in the country. Over the time, I mean, as the economy in Zimbabwe deteriorated, we've already reduced the number of stores that we have there. So we're down to about 20 stores at the moment. So it's not a big operation anymore. And the macroeconomies just make it impossible almost to trade there because, firstly, you battle with expatriation of funds, and secondly, the devaluation of the currency. With the hyperinflation that they have, is just very taxing on any business. So we've been, over the years, we've tried to keep the business going, and especially because we've got very loyal staff there. But, you know, you can only hope for so long that things would recover, and it hasn't really. So that's why we decided to finish or end our operations there.
And just turning to South Africa, looking through your results, you said that trading subsequent to year-end has remained volatile. Is there any hope for the South African consumer and for South African retail in general? Are you any signs of a turnaround?
Well, for the moment, we're not seeing that, Larry. You know, we've been hoping that it would improve, but what we mean with volatile is that, you know, you have some months that look quite good and then the next month is bad again. So we're not getting a consistent pattern of trading like we've become used to. So that's been challenging. But in South Africa also, I don't think it's only a retail issue. You know, it's the macroeconomic environment that needs to improve for all of us to benefit, you know, because if the consumer can benefit from a better environment, then obviously they'll spend more in retail, and that's what we're hoping for. But we haven't seen positive or definite signs of a change yet.
Okay, let's hope Black Friday turns
things around.
Turns around for you. Another thing that stuck out was the building company. I saw you put through some capital items over there. Can you just talk to me about what happened there? What's happening in your building operation?
Yeah, we announced it, I think, about 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, on a sense that there's an impairment of 1.2 billion rand on the building company. That's goodwill and intangibles that were on the balance sheet. Initially, when we started the Pepco, listed the Pepco business, that was placed on as goodwill and intangibles. So we wrote that off. And that's mainly due to the performance of the business. As you probably know, there's hardly a construction company left in South Africa of the big ones. They've all had their issues. And the construction industry is under immense pressure. And if the construction industry is under pressure, then the contractor, who's our core customer in the building company, they are under similar pressure. And that's led to us taking the impairment there.
On your fintech side, where building materials seem to have suffered, you've gone from strength to strength. What was behind that?
Yes. Well, I mean, we've got two businesses there that are still in the growth phase. The first one, Flash, has been growing very well for a number of years now. And it's just done exceptionally well again. So we're very proud of what they've achieved. And hopefully we can continue that for some time to come. You know, Flash operates in the informal market. And they sell mainly airtime and electricity in the informal environment through spaza shops, through small traders and medium-sized traders. So that's been very successful. They also sell obviously other products as well, anything from lotto tickets to Pumulela, etc. So there's quite a few products that they sell. Then Captain is our micro loan business. Unsecured lending, basically, and that we've had the business for a number of years. There was some pent-up demand, it seems, this year, so it's grown faster than we anticipated. But very happy with both those businesses. And yes, the fintech segment, to a certain extent, helped us this year where some of the other businesses did not do so well.
Okay. Also going through your income statement, there seems to be an income statement of two halves. One relatively, it was all fine until the impairment. Is my understanding correct that, you guys were doing relatively well? You saw revenue grow up, for, I think, 9%, operating profit before depreciation and other deductibles was also up 15%. On the surface, it seems like, and then there was the 1.2 million rand write-off. On the surface, it seems that besides the write-off, things were going relatively well this year then.
Yes, I'm very happy with the results. I think it's a very strong set of results. In the current circumstances, if you compare ourselves with the rest of the market, I think we did exceptionally well. Yes, the impairment is one of those once-off costs, and that's what you mean by the two parts of the income statement. It's a one-off cost, and that's why it's regarded as a capital item. But generally, I think it's a very good performance by the business. Except for the holding company, all the other businesses, as far as I'm concerned, very satisfactory.
Have you noticed any consumer trends? One of the things that I've picked up is that consumers are moving more towards what I call value retail, where they don't want to go for necessarily the branded goods, but they want to get something that's value for money. Has that trend helped you?
Of course, yes. And that's what we always claim, is that we've got a very strong position as a defensive, we call it the defensive market position. In other words, you're in the value and discount segment of the market, and even when times are tough, people shop down if they have to shop down to that part of the market, and I think that's part of our success and part of the business model that has made us so successful for so many years. So that works well for us, obviously. As it is at the moment, we do lose some customers out of the market completely. With unemployment at the levels where it is, businesses like Pep lose a lot of customers who just lose their jobs and then have very little income at all. So it catches you on both sides. Yes, people trade down, but you also lose at the bottom end of the market. But generally, value and discount is a good position to be in.
And one of the other trends we've seen is everyone seems to have their own loyalty program. Any plans to start something like that on your own?
We've investigated that in the past. It hasn't really worked for us to the extent that we hoped it would. It's a bit of a different environment, this from the FMCG environment, or let's call it grocery environment. So for the moment, no definite plans for us to create a loyalty program. We cater for the real bottom end of the market, for whom every cent is important. And, in our case, if we started a program like that, there is a certain amount of cost to it, and that cost would flow through to the customer. And we prefer to keep our prices as low as we possibly can, especially in today's environment where disposable income of our customers are so limited.
Thank you for answering all my questions, Mr. Lawrence. Once again, thanks for your time, and well done on a decent set of numbers.
You're welcome, Larry. Thank you very much.
That was Leon Lawrence. He is the CEO of Pepkor.